Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Arak is a hard liquor that is comparable to vodka or bourbon. It is made and consumed primarily in the Middle East. Arak is a body-warming and a mind-numbing drink, yet it became the friend and companion of a young Scottish soldier during the dark days of World War II. This young Scottish soldier was fighting with the British Army in Northern Africa against the German general Rommel and his Africa Army Corps. Now, the German army was soundly defeating the British army in every major skirmish. In fact, the German army had the British army on the run throughout Northern Africa. Hope for a British victory there seemed very, very bleak. News from home was even worse. The British soldiers found out that the German Air Force was repeatedly bombing British cities, towns, and villages, and causing a massive amount of destruction, chaos, and death. It was a very dark time, with no light of hope on the Earth's horizon. Well, this young Scottish soldier sought refuge in bottles of arak. Arak became his source of comfort during this time of sorrow. It became his escape from all these terrible things that were going on around him. Now, his fellow soldiers warned him that if he continued to drink so heavily, it would kill him. Yet he didn't care. One morning, his fellow soldiers woke up and found this young Scottish soldier dead of alcohol poisoning. This young soldier had found his exit from life, from a life that was far too hard to live. The war, the desert, the news from home all spoke to him about the end of hope. No one, especially those that are encountering difficult times, can continue to live without a sense of hope. And yet, this weekend we rejoice because Jesus Christ comes into this world to give us hope. Hope that we can overcome any obstacle or challenge in our life. Hope that we will have eternal life with Christ forever in heaven. How fitting that we rejoice on this third Sunday of Advent, as it was formerly known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. It's an imperative, a command. It is something that we all must do. Today, my friends, we rejoice because we recognize how close we are to the celebration of Christmas and the presence of God in our life and the hope that Jesus Christ gives us by coming into this world. Now, you may look out into the world and you may say to yourself, what is there to rejoice in? The economy is, if not in a recession, teetering on the brink of falling into one. Our savings accounts have been decimated. Maybe we know people, or we ourselves have lost jobs because of the sudden downturn in the economy. Worse yet, maybe there are people out there that are in fear of losing their jobs. Take it a step deeper. There are so many people out there right now that are battling poor health or are trying to cope with the loss of a loved one, especially now during this time of Christmas. There are so many young couples out there right now that are having great difficulty trying to conceive a child. And yet, as we draw closer and closer to celebrating the birth of our Savior, that despair intensifies for those couples. Yet, it is during these difficult times that we must not lose hope. Like that young Scottish soldier, hope keeps us alive. Hope gives us a purpose to continue on in life despite the challenge. In the first reading, Isaiah gives us a cause to rejoice in the hope that is given to us by God. Listen now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners. Now you may say to yourself, that sounds very familiar. Where have I heard that before? Well, this is the exact same scripture passage that Jesus read when he began his ministry. Remember the scene. Jesus enters in to the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, to pray. At the moment in which sacred scripture is to be read, it is Jesus who stands up, takes the text, and then turns to this specific passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He proclaims it, and then he sits down. This scripture passage is so, so important for us all. Why? Because it is this very passage that tells us everything that we need to know about Jesus Christ. It is this scripture passage that will tell us exactly what Jesus will do in this world. Listen again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Where have we heard or seen the Spirit of the Lord rest upon Jesus Christ? At the time of his baptism, Jesus, after having been baptized by John in the Jordan River, comes out of the water, and suddenly the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, and now he was ready and prepared to begin his mission, the mission to save the world. My friends, the same thing happened to us. At the time of our baptism, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon us to take up residence in us forever. At that moment, the seed of hope was planted deep within inside of us. From that moment forward, we began to participate in the life of Jesus Christ. The passage continues. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. Didn't Jesus do that throughout his entire ministry? He was constantly ministering to people that were sick, and not just physically sick, but psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. All who were oppressed in some way, shape, or form, he rescued those people from their illnesses. He healed them. Better yet, Jesus healed the world of the greatest affliction, the greatest illness that we know of, the illness of death itself. And my friends, that is something that we must celebrate and rejoice in. That in of itself gives us a sense of hope that nothing in this world can defeat us as long as we participate in the life of Christ. The text continues, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners. Jesus comes to free us from our captivity, the captivity of our sins, as well as anything that holds us in slavery, anything that holds us a prisoner or prevents us from growing in our relationship with Christ. And so our captivity comes in many different forms. Maybe it comes in the form of fear, depression, or anxiety. Maybe our captivity comes in the form of addictions. Maybe our captivity is something that we have created ourselves. You would say a self-imposed captivity from our own envy, greed, jealousy, or our ego. Yet, whatever captivity we are suffering under, it is Jesus Christ who enters into this world and lifts the yoke of that slavery and oppression off of us. So that what? When we are now liberated, we come to know our true self. And my friends, that is the key. That is what is so important for us to understand. Now, where do we see this firsthand? In the gospel. What's going on right now in the gospel? The Levites and the priests were sent out to go find out who John is and what is he doing. They start badgering him with all these questions. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? If you are not the Messiah, are you a prophet? If you are not a prophet, who are you and what are you doing? Yet, the Spirit of the Lord God has rested upon John, and therefore, John knows exactly who he is, and better yet, John knows exactly what God's will is for him, and now he is carrying out God's mission to prepare the people for the coming of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, I have spoken to you before about that beautiful quote from St. Irenaeus. Irenaeus says, God is glorified when the human being is fully alive. I'll say that again. God is glorified when the human being is fully alive. When are we fully alive? When we're living out the image and likeness that we were created in, the image and likeness of God. When are we enslaved? When are we truly in captivity? When we're living out an image and likeness that is something other than God. Maybe it's an image and likeness that our culture, our society tells us that we should live out. See, then we are truly held captive. Yet, the good news, what we have to rejoice in, is that Jesus Christ comes into this world and he liberates us. He helps us to release us from our imprisonment so that now we are free, free to live the person that God intended or created us to be. And therefore, we cannot help but rejoice in that. My friends, no one is immune from the troubles or the challenges of this world, as well as the agonies and the despair that is associated with them. But what we have to remember, never forget, and always hold on to, is that the seed of hope has been planted deep within inside of us at the time of our baptism, and continues to be nurtured each and every time we receive the Eucharist, as well as the other sacraments. Every time we receive the Eucharist, that seed continues to grow and to reassure us that Jesus Christ now lives in us. And as long as Christ is living in us, no matter what challenge, no matter what difficulty comes our way, we can persevere and overcome it. Since we participate in the life of Christ, nothing in this world can defeat us, including death itself. And my friends, that is something we must truly rejoice in. And may the peace and the mercy of Christ rest upon you always.